Okay, everybody, here we go. I'm gonna blow your house down. How that song just gets me every single time. Big Bad Wolf by Robodrome. Well, here we are near the end of the summer, everybody. This is what people consider to be the end of the summer, the Labor Day weekend, big weekend coming up. Everybody's probably got all their outdoor plans all lined up, hitting the beach, going to parks, camping, mountains, rafting, whatever it is people do out there when they scurry to have fun on the technically last weekend of summer. For all you fashion people out there, it's the last weekend to wear linen, so don't go wearing linen coming up after this. The fashion police will come down on you hard, mostly just by giggling at you as you pass, little muted giggles as you wear linen on September 2nd or 3rd or any time after that. If you hear a lot of little muffled giggles as you walk around in your cute little linen outfit, those are the fashion police. They're always undercover. Fashion police are in deep cover. Hard to spot them. Kind of like the blog police. I think I sometimes feel like I'm the blog police. I just can't stand typos and misspellings and misinformation. But the internet is replete with that sort of thing. There's a lot of people out there that are misinformed, and then they spread that misinformation. They might be the misinformation police. Maybe that's who those people are, the misinformation police. And they're the counter group to the other internet police, and I guess that's what just keeps all the gears churning. You've got the information police and the misinformation police, and they're just like a dog chasing its tail all the time. Well, how's everybody doing out there? Give me a call, 714-242-5272. You missed last week's show. We talked about all the different sauces, the five mother sauces, and we went into detail. And when I say we, it's the collective me. There's me, and me. People are always telling me, Christo, to you, it's just a me world. It's like, well, that makes a we then. There's a bunch of me's as a we. So anyway, a little humor there. We're going to talk about how to make a mahi-mahi taco here in a little bit. One of my listeners keeps asking me how to do that. But before we go into that, we're going to talk about what's seasonal. The Gotta Feed the Kid thing is ongoing. I don't know if you people pay attention to that. We're constantly doing that one. But I've slacked back a little bit because I'm trying to assemble a lot of these recipes and group them together so that I can make maybe a little cookbook or a manual or a weblog or a comprehensive thing or a something or other. A leaflet. Make a bunch of leaflets. And then I'll get an airplane and fly over parts of North America and scatter those leaflets, just like in olden times when people would send out that propaganda. I'll send out some Christo propaganda on how to gotta feed the kid, and then probably get a ticket for littering. And who knows what else? Considered a terrorist. So the seasonal food of the week this week, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is corn. Probably been seeing corn already in your supermarkets and your roadside stands and all that. But now is when it's in full swing. It's corn. It's happening out there. Corn. You can boil it. You can throw it on the grill. You can do what I've been doing lately is I just take the corn and I'm tired of eating it off the cob. I think I talked about this last week. I like to remove it from the cob. Then I throw it in a hot pan with a little butter, maybe a little thyme, get a little herb in there a little bit, just do a little extra something. And I just kind of sizzle it really hot, so it gets some little caramelized areas. Sort of, it's just to make a popping sound. You know, it's sizzling in there. And then I put that on a plate, and I sprinkle it with a little cotija cheese. That's like that Mexican Parmesan cheese, and a little bit of red chili powder, a little bit of salt, and a little squeeze of lime. And I'm telling you, that beats eating it off the cob any time. You spoon that up, eat it so thick. You could probably eat 3 ears of corn that way, when normally you just eat one or two and you get kind of tired of it. I do. I'm tired of doing that, eating off the cob thing. Artichokes are in season right now also. Normally artichokes are like $40 each. You probably get them now for like four for a dollar. You don't have to pay $40 a pop. They're really cheap right now. All kinds of things. Arugula, beets. One of my favorites for the beets is the beet green. A lot of people like chard and kale and collards and all that, but beet greens are just, they're just a lot. I don't know. I just love them. They're so, they got a different earthy flavor. They're so good. Just saute a little onion if you want some bacon. And throw your beet greens in there and just let them steam down rapidly just a little bit. Being the good Spanish kid that I am, or hardly a kid anymore, I like to eat everything in a taco or a tortilla. So then I'll just take some mozzarella cheese or some queso de Oaxaca, the Mexican mozzarella cheese, kind of melt that over the top and just fold the whole thing into a quesadilla. So beet greens are really, really, really good. So there's lots of things right now. Farm stands, farmers markets, your garden, they're just abundant. There's bell peppers, tomatoes, you name it. Your carrots should be starting to get ready right about now. Unless you live in Florida, I don't know. Florida grows. The warmer seasons, the warmer places, things are changing. You get a lot of melons from down there right now, though. Georgia melons and places like that. Used to be this guy, when I first moved to New York in the 80s, would drive up. And he had Georgia plates, and he had this big flatbed truck, rails on each side, all the sides, all around. And that truck was loaded with watermelon, loaded up. And he'd drive into my neighborhood. I don't know if it was worth it for him to do it or not, but I just can't imagine how he's driving all the way from Georgia to come to New York City to sell watermelons. But it happened. And back then, they were $4 for the huge watermelon. And they were so sweet and so delicious, you knew every single one of them was going to be good. And you wanted to buy a bunch because, well, they were, you know, so cheap and so huge and so sweet, but I don't know what you can do with a bunch of watermelon. But I always bought one every time I saw the guy. And then, I guess, gas prices got to be so exorbitant, he stopped coming. Or I don't know what reason he stopped coming. I never really knew the guy, so I didn't know anything about why he did it or anything like that. But I just know that it just stopped happening. And that was too bad because that was kind of cool. A little bit of country and downtown Manhattan was always kind of cool for me. Since I grew up in New Mexico, rural New Mexico, Bosque Farms, New Mexico, as a matter of fact. If there's anybody from New Mexico out there listening, maybe they should give a call in, 714-242-5272. Let's hear from you. So where were we? We were talking about seasonal stuff. Cauliflower, eggplant, garlic, radishes. Your carrots are happening. Your radishes are too. Rhubarb, your rhubarb little shrubs are like a little bushy thing, big stalks. They should be plentiful right now. Time to start making some rhubarb pie and rhubarb jellies. And anybody who's got a garden who planted zucchini, you're probably dropping those off on people's doorsteps and ringing the doorbell and running now. You have so many zucchinis, you don't know what to do with them. Favorite thing I like to do with zucchini is, I have a couple favorite things. The most easiest one is just to cut them into like half-inch or quarter-inch discs. And batter them up and fry them just like that, like you do a fried green tomato or like you do an eggplant. zucchini bread like that is just so good. Some people cut them into like more of a stick, a little baton, but I like them in the disc because then you've got nice, round, crunchy outside a little bit because of the skin sort of makes a little bit of a crunch, and then you've got that nice, tender inside. Where if you do it the other way, you've got, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like there's enough of that softness and crunch going on when it's a baton. So, zucchini, that's one thing. I like to fry them up. Then if you have them fried like that and you've got a big pile of those, you could make a lasagna. Just do it the same way you would like do an eggplant parmesan. Just layer the zucchini, fried zucchini bits, pieces, in a casserole dish with some cheese and some sauce. You don't even have to do sauce. Just do some fresh sliced tomatoes. So do a layer of zucchini, a layer of sliced tomatoes, a little bit of ricotta mozzarella mixed with parmesan. So get your ricotta cheese, your parmesan cheese, and your mozzarella cheese and grate that all together. Mix that in a bowl. Put a little nutmeg in there because that's always a tasty surprise that adds a whole lot to it. A little salt and pepper. Put some basil in there if you want. An egg, depending on how much you're making, maybe two eggs because you want that to kind of hold it all together. So you get your cheese mixture. And then layer your zucchini. Layer your sliced tomatoes. Put a layer of cheese, your cheese mix. And then repeat that again. Zucchini, tomatoes, cheese, zucchini, tomatoes, cheese, until you filled it up. Then plastic wrap, and then cover it with foil. Pop it in the oven, not too long, like a 350-degree oven for 15 minutes maybe, because the zucchini is already cooked, and you don't want the tomatoes to overcook. You still want them to have a little texture to them. You just want to melt that cheese and get it all kind of ooey-gooey and delicious. Take it out. Resist the temptation to just dive right into it when it's lava hot. Just let it sit for a minute. It'll congeal back up together. It'll tighten up a tiny little bit. And then slice it up and just go crazy. Now, of course, you know, like any lasagna or a parmesan, stuff like this is always great the next day. So, you know, you could just refrigerate it if you wanted at this point. And then the next day, you're going to get really perfect slices. It's not going to be so ooey gooey and all that. And if you know you want to do some food porn or anything like that, take a fresh tomato, pop it in some boiling water, get the skin off, take it out, slice it open, get the seeds out. Take your immersion blender if you have one. If not, just mush up that tomato with your hand and maybe put a little bit of browned garlic. Just get some garlic and some olive oil and just sizzle that just a tiny little bit. You don't want to burn it, just a tiny little bit just to get that nice smell going. And then some chiffonade of basil. We talked about chiffonade before. That's just those fine ribbons. Just take your basil leaves and stack them all up and roll them up like a cigar. And then just slice on down, and you'll get all these fine little ribbons. So put that in there, and now you have kind of a basic, fast, like a little sauce for your zucchini lasagna. Put that on the bottom of your plate. Get your perfect sliced, cold piece of your zucchini lasagna and put that right on top. Put a little more cheese on top of that. A little bit more of that basil, and you've got a food porn waiting to happen right there. You just now just invite your friends over, have everybody take pictures of it, gather around, stare at it, look at it, and there you go. You made instant food porn because it's easier to slice the stuff the next day. You get cleaner lines. That's what I'm saying. So you get a nice, clean, crisp edges. My second favorite way to make zucchini is to take one of those graters that you can get that makes like spaghettis. They're like, it makes like shreds. You can do it on a mandolin, or you can just get one of those hand graters that they have now that you just, you know, like you're, I mean, like a peeler. Like if you're peeling potatoes, it's a peeler now that you just peel down and you end up with what looks like a spaghetti. So if you're a vegan or you're gluten, you want to be gluten-free or anything like that, and you want to have something that seems spaghetti-like, because we all know that people who have these food things, that like they don't want to eat bacon, but they want things that are like bacon. You see, that's what's really unusual to me. Like you know, I'm allergic to shrimp, but I want something that's a lot like shrimp. Makes no sense. I wouldn't want anything like it, not like it, nothing. Anyway, but that's a whole other topic for a whole other day, probably for a whole other radio show. Because personally, I don't really care what people eat. Just eat what you like. Enjoy it. Don't be all born again about your food and try to make everybody else want to eat what you eat. Just do what you do and let everyone else do what they do. So, you got your peeler. It makes up. You hear my New Mexico accent when I say things like peeler. Peeler. you peel the zucchinis. Get a nice big pile of these zucchini spaghettis, and you can still use that same sauce concept that I told you a second ago with the tomatoes. That's really tasty. Just do it like that. It's so fresh, and, you know, just low acid, really good. Put those zucchini spaghettis, in quotes, in a hot pan with a little garlic, a little onion, a little oil. Maybe some butter if you like. If you're vegan, don't use butter. You want to break your own rules. But if you're not vegan and you want to use some butter, put some butter in there. And just kind of brown them a little bit, steam them a little bit. Zucchini cooks really fast. Toss those all around and then toss some of that sauce in there that you made. And toss that all around. Get it all nice and hot. And if you're not a vegan and you want to put some cheese on there, just put a little cheese on there, and then just plate that right up. And you've got a really excellent vegetarian dish that looks cool, tastes great, healthy, good for you, makes your eyes bright, gives you a happy smile, puts a kick in your step. So those are my two favorite ways. I like to make the zucchini spaghetti kind of things. I like to make the discs. I don't know what you would call that. I don't know, like a fritter? It's not really a fritter. If you want to make fritters, you can take those same shreds that you just made, the zucchini spaghettis, and toss those with a tiny little bit of flour and a little bit of egg just to help them group together. And then you can fry those either as little handfuls, little tiny little pieces. So you can make like, you know, maybe a 1 or 2 inch little fritter like that, or you just put the whole thing in a pan and fry that whole thing like that, and then you can take it out and slice it like a pie. That's also really good. So much you can do with zucchini. You make zucchini bread. It's like the Bubba Gump. It's like Bubba Gump of vegetables. You got zucchini bread. You got zucchini alla marinara. You got zucchini fritters. You got... See, just get Bubba Gump to tell you all the different things you can do with zucchini. Just endless. Apples are coming in season here real soon. They're just kind of, probably just starting now. It's the height of apple picking season. Usually is around September, mid-September, October. And apples are probably just getting started now here in the Northeast. Apricots are out there right now. Blueberries are going to be in season here real soon, tons of them. I remember growing up in New Mexico, blueberries were exotic as all get out. You never had any blueberries. I'd look at cereal boxes or I'd see things with blueberries on them and I would just be like wistfully wishing what it would be like to have a blueberry. What's a blueberry like? Now I live in the Northeast and they're all over the place. And they're not cheap. But they're not too expensive either. They're very expensive in the desert places and places where there's no blueberries. But here in the Northeast, they're relatively abundant. Figs, my favorites. Figs grow all over the place. We had a fig tree in Bosky Farms growing up. I liked figs. I guess I'm kind of nostalgic today. The weather changes. I start reminiscing a lot about New Mexico. Figs. Love figs. Well, you know, we never talked about the mahi-mahi taco. So let's talk about that a little bit for a listener out there in New Mexico, Valerie Martinez. Maybe she's listening now. Maybe she'll be listening later. But she's asked a few times about the mahi-mahi taco. You would just approach that the same way you would do any other taco. I think I might have even talked about this before. Well, I'll do it again. Or am I duplicating shows? I don't know. Did I already talk about the mahi-mahi taco? I don't even remember. I can't listen to the old shows now to remember if I did. You know what? I'm going to skip talking about the mahi-mahi taco and see if we just don't get an answer here. Maybe she's listening now. Maybe she remembers if I did it. And she'll chime in here and let me know. I see something popping up here on my chat windows. Maybe she's going to tell me if I did or if I didn't. But if you weren't listening the last time, what I like to do, there's a couple ways. You can deep fry it, just make like a tempura batter, or you can make a blackening sauce, a blackening powder, not a sauce. And you can do that a number of ways. You could, if you just don't want to make one, just use a little bit of Old Bay. Now, go lightly on that because it's really salty and it's really strong. Or you can just make your own with all the flavors that you might happen to like. A little red chili, a little cumin, put some dried herbs in there if you like, oregano, whatever. Be careful with a lot of those because they're going to burn faster. Just a tiny little bit of sugar because that's what's going to help the blackening. Salt and pepper. Get that nice powder. Then take your fish pieces, and you want to cut them up just the right size for your taco. So probably like, say, cigar width, if you have big fat fingers, you know, as fat as your finger. Get a bunch of those ready. Put them in your blackening mix. Put them all sides. Have your pan. If you have a flat top or a griddle, have your griddle ready. A little bit of oil. Put the fish down. It's going to sizzle. Sizzle it on all four sides. That should be long enough to blacken each four sides. It's going to be just enough cooking time for all to go all the way around. So now you've got your fish is cooked. You're going to want a little bit of a slaw. And that's easy to do with a grater. Grate some carrots. Grate some purple cabbage. Grate some Napa cabbage or slice that up with a knife. I like the Napa cabbage because you've already got the purple cabbage, which has that deeper, denser chew, that crunch to it. The Napa cabbage, the Savoy cabbage also, is lighter. And it's got a nice crunch to it, but it's just a lighter textured cabbage. And I like that one a lot. So you've got those two cabbages. A little bit of shaved red onion. So you've got that. Maybe some shaved apple also. Put that in a bowl. A little bit of white vinegar. A little bit of honey. A little salt and pepper. Toss that around. Now you've got your slaw. And now you're going to want to have another topping. Maybe like a chipotle mayo or something like that. Easy enough to do. You could make an aioli. That's a whole other thing to make the aiolis. That's egg yolk and oil and all that. You're making a mayonnaise. Or you could just take some mayonnaise, your favorite mayonnaise brand, and get a can of chipotle peppers in adobo sauce. You're going to use that adobo sauce to mix into your mayo. So you open the can, you see it all floating around in there. Take out a spoonful or so of that. Put it in a couple tablespoons or so of the mayonnaise. You do it back and forth until you got the right heat that you want and the right consistency. You can't put too much of either one because it's either going to be too mayonnaise-y, or if you put too much of the adobo sauce, it's just going to be too runny. So if you don't want any mayonnaise, just use a straight adobo if you're going to go that far. So, but if you want it to be more of a thicker sauce, like a tartar kind of sauce, it's got a spice to it, then do it with that. Now, you're going to want to put all this in a squirt bottle so that you can do some cool things with it on top of your taco. You want to make some stripes. And if you decide to use some of the chipotle peppers, you're going to have to chop those up really, really fine or hit them with an immersion blender to blend them because they're going to get stuck coming out of your squirt bottle, and that's going to be not fun because then you won't be able to look so cool and you go really fast and do those stripes of chipotle mayo on top of your homemade slaw that you made on top of your mahi-mahi taco. Now, warming up the tortillas, that's kind of critical. When you go to a taco stand, they always use two tortillas, and there's a reason for that because you don't want any of your stuff to start leaking through. It's not that you're going to have this over-wet taco or anything, but you just want that extra protection of having the two tortillas. And you should do that at home as well. You don't need to do the two tortillas if you're going to eat them quickly, but if you're going to just take your time and enjoy it like you probably should, two tortillas is not a big deal. So you're going to want to warm them up on a hot griddle, or as they say in New Mexico, a comal. A little oil helps. You could do some Pam spray. You could do butter, but just very lightly coat them because they're going to dry out and turn into a cracker. But if you put a little oil on there, that's going to keep them moist. Warm up the tortillas on all sides. Make a stack of them. Put them in a plastic bag, Ziploc sort of bag or anything like that. You have your stack of tortillas all warmed and ready. They're going to be very pliable, perfect. Get all your fish ready. You got your slaw ready. You got your mayo ready. Now you have a taco bar. You're ready to go. Get some friends over. Crack out some Negro Modelo beers or some Tecate or some Dos Equis or some Corona. Or what the heck, have a Bud. Doesn't even matter. You're all ready to go in your mahi-mahi tacos. Now, that can work with other fish as well. Not so much. Tilapia would be better if it was fried probably. Some fish are too flaky to do that technique on a grill. But the mahi-mahi can handle it. It's denser. Swordfish could handle it. Shark can handle it. There's a lot of other fish. I'm not going to go down the fish list here. But there you go. Mahi-mahi tacos. Lots of zucchini ideas. The Bubba Gump of zucchini. We didn't get any callers. Going to happen is people are going to be asking around 1 o'clock, can we call in now? And the answer is no, you can't call in now. Got to call in right now, this morning, 10 a.m. So, I see I'm getting a question here on my chat about wet dried herbs. I'm a big oregano fan lately. I'm all into oregano. So I'm growing oregano in the garden. I'm putting oregano in everything. If you don't like oregano, use marjoram or thyme. I don't know about rosemary on this one. Rosemary might be just a little too floral, a little too much bouquet going on there. But, the flavors that you like. Make a mahi-mahi taco. All right, RoboDrums coming in, folks. The end of another exciting show. Thanks for listening. Hope everybody has a great weekend this weekend. Come up with some ideas, people, if you listen in. We'll be doing this again next week, the week after. Let's chat. Let's talk about what's on your mind. Let's talk about what's on your mind. That's it. Bye-bye.
Just when you thought radio was safe.
A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.